You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.
This is Barbara O'Neill from the Irish Women's Group at West Hampstead Women's Centre, and this is a recording of my rant about a subject that I feel strongly about and of the responses of some of those who listened to what I had to say. This is on technology. Personally, I'm anti-technology to a big extent, say 99%. The reason is because it's taken a lot of skills from human beings, natural skills. To have a healthy and happy life, one needs exercise, social interaction and human contact. I find the only useful thing in technology is for big businesses, big banks, where it cuts down the time of dealing with business. As a child, I've worked with children, it's very important to develop certain skills for the child to go on into adult. And this is physical, intellectual, imagination, social skills. With the bombardment of technology, it shrinks the brain. And as I've got a very deep faith, and for me, God gave us a brain to use, not to be used. I find it very impersonal, the technology, the emails, etc. It's dangerous for young adults with the internet and pornography because parents can't be with their children 24/7. Shops are quickly disappearing because people are doing it all online. I ride a bike, but if I do happen to go on public transport, my head's done in from the beginning of the journey to getting off the journey because you get bombarded with mobile phones going off, different languages being spoken. I'm glad to get on my bicycle after. And then there's a health hazard with a mobile phone. You see people walking along the street, even crossing the road with their mobile. They're not aware of the traffic lights, or so there's a health hazard. Then you get violent games, etc. So young children grow up, don't know any different. You know, they're born into violence, they're born into technology, that they're not aware of these skills that humans have, that they're getting obese because they're not really exercising as they should. You know, the physical development, so that's becoming a problem. Like I love swimming. You know, I go to the swimming pool, I go to the changing room, all you hear is mobile phones going off. I wonder if it's my own mobile phone. And that's all you hear. Or they're sitting in the changing room talking 10 to the dozen on their mobile phone because they cannot bear not to be in contact with anybody. They feel insecure if they're not in contact. I have a friend from the church. I don't belong there now, but I have a friend from the church, and the person would go into their home and I'd maybe go in for a cup of tea. He would disappear into his office straight onto the emails, what emails he's got to answer or what emails have come in. Even in shops, people that, you know, if you give them money, you're buying something, it's all robotic. They just press a button and the money comes up, and another button and the change comes up, whether it's the right or wrong, because computers can make mistakes. There's another point. There was in a company, and all the gadgets and technology was removed from them. And for the first day or two, they were lost. They were so used to, you know, using their mechanical, they didn't know how to communicate with each other. They felt uncomfortable. And by the second or third day, they started communicating, using their brain. They didn't have to take their work. They couldn't take their work home with them. So therefore, they were doing social activities. They were doing exercise. They had to think what to do because they didn't have their laptop with them or their mobile. But they could use a telephone because you've got to have some way of communicating, or if there's an emergency. But that's fine because at least you hear the person's voice on the other end. And even now, what's happening now is when you do pick up the phone, you don't hear the person's voice on the other end. It's press button 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're left waiting, holding. You get so frustrated, which people do, and that causes a lot of anger and violence. So in the end, you think, oh, my God. You know, or you want to hear a person's voice, it's a message answer machine now. And also a lot of skills are disappearing. They're being replaced with technology. An example is my dad was a surgical shoemaker, and that was a really good craft. I used to love watching him making the shoes from scratch. Now it's all banged out in machines. So that trade's disappearing. A lot of other creative trades are disappearing. You know, I could name hundreds of them, but as I say, creative trades, you can think that yourself. Also, letter writing, things like that, things that you were brought up to do. Post office is shutting. As I say, shops are disappearing. People are isolated. They say, oh, no, go on the computer, not isolated then. But that defeats the object. You do not have exercise, you do not have social interaction, or you don't have human contact with the elderly especially. And I work at a day centre, and they really love those three skills, and I rest my case.
I'd like to add that in my own personal experience of the internet, freedom of choice and freedom of consultation has absolutely been omitted. Everything is implemented without input from the general public. Freedom of choice, which is actually happening quite recently, because when I've actually tried to apply for jobs online, a few of the places have agreed to actually, you know, allow us, the human race, to have an application form. So instead of trying to access online, because, you know, at times, have they had it, haven't they had it, got to chase it out, da 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 da. Freedom of choice, really, is really aggravating me at the moment, because, you know, we haven't really any rights. And even, you know, on telephone calls, you know, quite right, it's press 1, press 2, press 3. You can't talk to anyone. You have calls. Is it really from Santander, or is it really from the council? Is it fraudsters? Freedom of choice. Consultation with the general public ought to be implemented on the whole area of technology.
I think we should be absolutely clear what technology should mean in our lives. That it should be something we use to enhance and make life a bit easier. It should not be a replacement for proper contact with human beings.
Yes, I don't like the use of mobile phones when I'm in a meeting, and I go to quite a lot of meetings, and I notice people text, and I find that very discourteous when I'm interacting with another person.
I totally agree about noise pollution. When you're on the bus, it honestly does my head in, where, you know, loud people seem to need to really shout when they're talking, as if they're not going to be heard. And I know it's a hot potato, but when you have all these different languages that you just, you know, it really bombards your head. You know, I find that absolutely so oppressive. And even if you have an iPod, it doesn't, you know, point out. And sometimes I've been very tempted to turn around and try and signal to people to, you know, be quiet. Yeah, I think it's just crept into every aspect of life. Like when people are going around supermarkets, they're talking to their other half or whatever about the selection of beans and that kind of stuff. I find that really annoying. You know, honestly, and everybody seems to need to be indispensable with it. Yeah. It's become too ubiquitous.
I've often been out for dinner with friends, and I've noticed that there's a couple sitting next to me, and they're out on a date. Yeah, they're out on a date, and they're both on mobile phones. So I often think to myself, well, why do they meet up? They could have stayed at home and maybe not even seen each other.
To the cinema, up on the screen, they'll say, please switch off your mobile phones now. Why can't that apply to public transport before they enter the bus? There's the notice there as you enter the bus. Please switch off your mobile phone. Don't use your mobile phone while travelling on the bus. Wait, get off.
I like to send a few texts if I get stuck in traffic on the bus.
Chatting. We don't need to hear what's going on in your life. I've got enough problems on my own.
It's like a permanent soap opera, isn't it?
Yeah.
When I travel up and down to wherever, you know, I try and go into the quiet zone, but you always get some bee who will answer a call or ring up, and you feel very intimidated to, you know, say, look, we paid this special thing for the quiet zone. No, people just can't resist breaking the rules.
Also, tracking of mobile phones and Oyster cards is half and half. It's helpful at times. On the other hand, it's quite intrusive. So I'm not quite sure how it was all implemented. You know, that if you're travelling up the road, everyone, you know, is able, you know, at some level to track where you are, which is a wee bit, you know, naughty, really. But on the other hand, if, I don't know, if a child is missing or something like that, it could work the other way. So it's really that grey area. Are we all clear how much information is used in the appropriate way and how it's used at random on your sort of mobile telephone number or also on your Oyster cards? It's a question. I'm not sure if we're clear on it or if we have to have clarity on, you know, the legal implementation of it. In my opinion, it only ought to be used if actually, and you know, it was a terrorist attack or if it was a missing child and it's urgent. I mean, in those areas, it would be most important and useful. But on the other hand, having the information on everyone, if you're going up Sainsbury's or up the road, she went out, you know, actually having everything in your bloody life monitored. Well, it's all tracked, isn't it, on London Underground and all those places on Oyster Card. It's my question, who has access to that information?
They'll microchip the lot of us. Every time you go out, wherever you're walking, you're being seen on a CCTV. They say you're never so many yards away from where there's one.
You're never alone.
And I've come to the conclusion they've microchipping the animals, and one day they'll be microchipping the human beings as well.
Yeah. What worries me a lot and has been for some time is the our patients' notes, our personal information at the doctor's surgery. It's all in computer. The personal files, there's a general, I think they've been pushing for a general big database where anybody from Adam could access our personal stuff. And that's very precarious because of, you know, people in charge of this are careless. So that's one big worry of mine. My personal stuff, any old person knowing.
Could you just tell us who's going to be able to access it?
Well, there's an elite, isn't there? In this country, there's always an elite who have more importance than the, you know, the hoi polloi is the elite. Some government bods or people who own information, the top government people, I suppose.
Yes, a number of months ago, I had the experience of having text sent to me about winning money about to do with accidents, and I went back to Vodafone and asked them to take me off the database because I think that what they're doing is selling the information on. I called the telephone preference service, and I think I went online and got my number deleted from so I don't get cold calls anymore. But I'm actually ex-directory and I don't accept withheld numbers. So if somebody rings my landline at home, it doesn't go through because it doesn't receive unidentified numbers.
I'm ex-directory, but I still get bombarded with adverts coming through onto my landline. But I'm ex-directory, so how they got my number?
That's the thing.
They're not supposed to be able to get your number, are they?
I wasn't aware that a withheld number could be blocked. If somebody's calling and withheld, I see on my screen. I wasn't aware that I could actually call an organisation and say, look, anybody calling withholding their numbers, I want that blocked. Do you know what I mean?
I'm with Virgin Media, and I called them and asked them to put a block on, and I keyed in a number to stop people phoning.
So there are things that could be a bit helpful. I'm registered for no cold calls.
How do you stop cold calls?
Telephone preference service, 0845 07 00 707, or go to the TPS website. That should help to stop unsolicited sales and marketing calls.
What do you think about this issue?
You are listening to a podcast from Camden Community Radio.
www.ccradio.org.